Today's Bible reading is from Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, Christ Church. If you want to turn to Philippians, you can turn to Philippians there. You can sit down. I'll pray after the introduction. I know it's a little bit different. But Philippians 1, and like Mark said, my name is Chase Bender. I am the pastoral assistant or pastoral intern at Grace Bible Church. I also teach middle school Bible at Manhattan Christian Academy, where one of the young ladies who was baptized about 2 weeks ago goes. Kezia told me not to say her name, so I won't embarrass her today. But so she does go to school there, and I get the privilege of teaching her. But one of the things, what Mark didn't mention is I'm from Alabama. Before that, I lived in California. One of the things that has been so different for my wife and I since we've moved here is public transportation. I'm sure all of you guys know the pains of public transportation. But one of the things I really enjoy doing on public transportation is just looking at everyone else, right? I'm not just talking about the people sleeping on the subway. I'm talking about the people who look normal, who look like they have normal jobs. And I just wonder what is going on in their life. And even here this morning, being greeted by warm smiles, I wonder what is going on in these people's lives. What is going on in the life of the person who's kindly went out of their way to say good morning to me? I wonder, is this person full of joy? Is this person struggling? Is this person barely able to get here this morning? Or has this person been looking forward to being here all week? You know, as I sit on the subway or as I look out amongst Christ Church, I can't help but wonder, what is it that is going on in each of your lives? There's a statement one of my pastors told me a long time ago, and I'm sure you may have heard this. And he said, you know, Chase, a lot of the people that you come in contact with, the reason when you're preaching being gracious and kind is so important is because a lot of people in your life, and you included, a lot of people are either coming out of a trial or they're going into a trial. I don't know if you heard that before, but I feel like that's a true statement that if you're not in a trial right now, there's a point in time in your life where you'll be going into one. And if you're currently in one, there's a point in time where you'll be coming out of it. And so my hope is today is that as we talk about trials, that this would be an encouraging text for you. And so what we're going to look at today is three ways we're going to see Paul's perspective in the midst of trials, hardships, and disappointments. I'm going to give you three ways to do that. Three ways for us to see Paul's perspective in the midst of trials, hardships, and disappointments, or three reasons why God allows trials. Let me pray for us really quick, and then we shall get started. Heavenly Father, we know that you are good. And Lord, we know that you are praiseworthy. And we know, God, that you are in control of all things in our lives. And we know, God, that you are so kind and compassionate. I do pray, Father God, Lord, that you would be exalted, your character, your goodness would be put forth today, Lord, that I would be able to stand in the background, in the shadows, God. And I just pray for the hearts and the minds here today, that you would draw them to know you more deeply. I pray for those, Lord, who are struggling to be here, that you would just comfort them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so as way of reminder, the context here in Philippians 1, verses 12 through 18, I just want you to know, Paul's not at a nice coffee shop on 2nd Avenue. Paul's not at the Starbucks down the street drinking coffee. He's not in his nice, comfy pajamas at home writing this letter. He doesn't have the luxury of having a Yule log on the YouTube screen with a warm fireplace next to him. No, Paul is in jail. Right, Paul is in a cold jail, on a cold cell, on the hard ground. And he doesn't even have the free autonomy to walk around by himself. He actually has a guard shackled to him. And so when he eats, the guard is there. When he uses the restroom, the guard is there. Needless to say, Paul's circumstances are not what we would call comfortable. They would be described as difficult, inconvenient, hard, heartbreaking, or suffering. Right, Paul is in prison, and remembering that is key to understanding this passage. It really is key to understanding this passage because there's going to be some things said today, and it is easy for our hearts and our minds to go, well, you know what, Chase? I understand what Paul is saying, but he doesn't know what I'm going through. I hear what the Word of God says, but Paul's never experienced this heartbreak that I'm enduring. And I would say you're absolutely right. But God does. But God does. God knows the heartbreak and suffering that you're going through. So I just want to encourage that. As we sit here today and hear these words, I want you to remember that God has brought this specific season of life for a purpose. The point of today is not to make struggling believers feel like Paul has no sympathy. Right, the point today is not those who are grieving the loss of a loved one to think, man, God just doesn't care about my struggles. The point of today is those struggling financially or with discontentment with your place in life, right? For the single who desperately desires marriage, for those who are insecure, for those who are lonely, for those who are worrying just about the day-to-day struggles of being a college student, a parent, a child, or a spouse. The point of today is not to make you feel like what you're going through is worthless. No, in fact, the point of today is with a gospel-centered mind, with a godly perspective, with a heavenly mindset, all of these seasons of life that we endure, all of the seasons of life that so many of you are currently going through, if you are a believer, you can cultivate joy in your life. In the midst of those seasons of life. Right, because our hope and our joy ultimately is not in our circumstances, though they are so difficult and tough. Our hope and our joy is in the Savior Jesus Christ. Our hope and our joy is in the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Once again, the point of today's sermon is not to say, hey, pick yourself up with your bootstraps, put on a fake smile so everyone thinks that you're a good Christian. And that's what good Christians do. They just fake it until they make it. Sola bootstrapa. No, the point, I learned that one in seminary, thank you. No, the point of today's sermon is, in those circumstances, changing our perspective helps us remain joyful. And so Paul's goal in writing this letter, as I finish up explaining the context here, is first and foremost to change the Philippians' perspective. And secondly, he wants the Philippians to see that what seems like a hopeless situation is not hopeless. And in the same way, what appears to be a hopeless and difficult season of life for you, maybe it's a difficult season of years. The point remains the same. We have a good God who's working for His glory. We just have to change our perspective. So three ways God uses trials, disappointments, and hardships in our lives. I'll say each of the three twice up front. I will say them about 50 more times. So if you don't get them the first two times, they will be repeated over and over. The hope there is at the end of the day, you go, man, that was really annoying. He kept saying the same thing over and over and over again. My hope is in the midst of your trial and circumstance, you go, huh, oh, I remember what that one guy said. I don't remember who that guy was, but I remember what he said. So point one, God uses disappointments as divine appointments to advance the gospel. God uses disappointments as divine appointments to advance the gospel. God uses our trials as point two. God uses our trials as an opportunity to share the gospel. Right, point two, God uses our trials as an opportunity to share the gospel. And point three, God uses our joy and hardships to bring confidence to believers around us. Right, point three, God uses our joy in hardships to bring confidence to believers around us. All right, enough of me speaking. Let's get to what the Word of God has to say. Looking at verse 12, it says this. He says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Paul says, I want you to know, brothers. Right? Paul's addressing a perspective they have. He's saying, Philippians, I want you to think, you think one way, I want you to think a certain way. I want you to change the perspective you currently have. We don't have to look at Ephesians or Philippians 2:25, but when the Philippians heard that Paul was in prison, they sent Epaphroditus with a letter. And we don't have all of what the letter says. We don't even have the letter. But we can assume that it says something like this. Paul, we're so sad that you're in prison. Paul, that is such a bummer that you're in prison. And Paul responds to them saying, I want you to know. I understand you're sad, but I want you to understand. I want you to know. I appreciate your sympathy, but I want you to be assured. I want you to be aware of. I want you to know that my circumstances, though they are not ideal... Anyone ever had circumstances that weren't ideal? Paul says, I want you to know that even though the plan that I had for my life was to go one way, and even though it's working out another way, I want you to know that it's okay. Right, from the Philippians perspective, Paul's supposed to be spreading the gospel. Paul's supposed to be planting churches, and yet he's in a prison. Tied to a Roman jailer, a Roman guard, and he says, I want you to know that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Notice the passive voice there. What has happened to me? Paul's perspective on his difficult circumstance is one of which he realizes that the sovereign God who created the heavens and the universe is the one ordaining these things. Right. Paul recognizes where he's at in the season of life he's in isn't by accident. God has placed him there, and God's the one bringing what seems like a disappointment. But there's really a good reason for it. If you keep reading, it says, for I want you to know what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Now, I think everyone here would say, if I were to ask you one at a time, do you want the gospel to advance through your life? Everyone would say yes. Well, how would you like that to happen? Well, you know, I wouldn't mind preaching every now and then. I wouldn't mind doing some counseling. I wouldn't mind doing some worship. I mean, we'd get plenty of people to raise their hands for evangelism ministry, but who would raise their hand for difficult seasons of life? Right? Who would raise their hands for trials as a way for the gospel to advance in your life? Not me. I'm not standing up here saying that's where I would stand. Not, absolutely not. But God uses, point one, but God uses disappointments as divine appointments to advance the gospel. And this is the mindset Paul wants the Philippians to adopt. He wants us to cultivate it as well. Right, there are times where there are tremendously disappointing seasons in life. And Paul's advice is, change your mindset. Realize that your disappointing season of life is God working out the gospel. Paul's saying, the reason I'm going through what I'm going through, the reason God has brought me to where I am, isn't useless, isn't worthless, isn't pointless, but in all reality, it is to advance the gospel. Right, the advancement of the gospel is the way in which God sovereignly pushes the gospel forward in ways we don't even know. Right, there's us sharing the gospel intentionally, and there's events in our lives where unbelievers around us see how we respond, and they start to think, huh, that's an interesting response. It's interesting that they have joy in that moment. There's the advancement of the gospel going forward, and it saves people, and we don't even see it. The advancement of the gospel is God working in unexpected ways in other people's lives, and we don't even realize it. Brothers and sisters, I have no doubt and no reservation saying that at some way and somehow, someone sitting next to you has been drastically encouraged by a situation in your life that you've went through and you have no idea. That is the advancement of the gospel. Right, Paul didn't expect to be doing prison ministry, but he wasn't upset about it because he understood that the gospel was going forth. He understood that his circumstances were planned by God. Right, Paul cultivated a gospel-centered perspective that allowed him to remain joyful even in his difficult circumstances. And so in our lives, a way to cultivate that mindset, a way to cultivate or to have or to change our perspective is to try and stay away from saying things like, and I know these because these are things that I say, have said. It's try to stay away from saying things like, God, I've been really faithful to the body of Christ and I've been serving. Why are you letting this happen to me? Now, obviously, those who ask, seek, and knock will be given wisdom, right? I'm not saying there's a problem with asking God, God, why am I going through this? But notice the heart attitude. I've been doing this, therefore, why are you letting this happen? I've given you something, God, therefore nothing should ever happen in my life that I don't agree with. God, I'm where you want me to be. Why is it so hard? It shouldn't be this hard. Me moving to New York, that was my prideful attitude. God, I am sharing the word with people and I am doing everything you call me to do. I don't think that I should be going through this. Right? These are heart attitudes and mindsets that we have sometimes. And if not you, then definitely me. And Paul's encouragement here to change our perspective so that the gospel would advance is by cultivating a godly perspective. Notice I say cultivate because it's not something that just comes naturally, right? Cultivating, there has to be some work. We have to remind ourselves of these things. Right, the Philippians worried for Paul. They thought the plan to spread the gospel was being thwarted since Paul was in prison, but Paul had a godly perspective, a heavenly mindset. Paul had a godly perspective, a heavenly mindset, and a gospel focus. Right, point one, God uses disappointments as divine appointments to advance the gospel. And so, brothers and sisters, when things aren't going your way, when the circumstances are less than ideal, when your plan that you had planned isn't working out the way you desire and it's actually working out the way God has desired, I just encourage you to change your mindset. We have to see things from God's perspective, and we may not understand His ways, and I'm grateful that we serve a God who I am not smarter than, because I am not a very smart guy, and I'm grateful, Lord, that even though you do allow, I'm grateful that our Lord, even though He does allow hard seasons of life, He doesn't leave us without comfort. And so our disappointments are divine appointments that God uses to advance the gospel. Point number two, verse 13. Point number two, our trials and disappointments are an opportunity to share the gospel. So I made a distinction, and I'm not pinning them against each other, but I'm saying the advancement of the gospel is ways that happen without us even realizing, and I'm saying an opportunity to share the gospel is us intentionally doing it. And so now in verse 13, Paul explains the purpose behind the situation. Notice verse 13 starts with a so that. It's a purpose statement. Right, Paul's revealing the specific reason God's allowed these trials. Verse 12, I want you to know what has happened to me. It's to advance the gospel. Verse 13, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. Paul says, Philippians, change your perspective on my imprisonment. God has allowed me the opportunity. Now, who would describe their difficult season of life as God allowing them the opportunity to suffer for His name's sake? Because ultimately, that's what it is. our difficult trials are an opportunity so that the gospel would be heard. And for Paul, his opportunity to be in prison was so that the gospel would be heard throughout the whole imperial guard. You see, Paul's in prison for Christ's sake, and he's okay with that, because he recognizes that the Roman guards, the Roman government, that there was no way that they were going to hear the gospel apart from being chained to Paul. Now see, Paul saw it as an opportunity to be in the jail cell, where he got to share the gospel, and when he was talking with his friends, the Roman soldiers chained to his wrist would hear the gospel, and they'd hear conversations he had with visitors, conversations full of the gospel, conversations full of the glorious Savior Jesus Christ. Right? The soldiers would hear they would hear Paul pray, and they'd listen as he'd dictate the epistle he wrote. Right? Paul knew that his trial was an opportunity to share the gospel. The Roman guards weren't coming to church service on Sunday mornings. They weren't showing up on Sunday evening services. They weren't coming to prayer meetings. They weren't bringing their kids to VBS. There was only one way they would hear the gospel, and that way was through Paul being chained to them. You see, Paul saw it as an opportunity to share the gospel, but I can only imagine the Roman guards doing rock, paper, scissors, or fighting to be the one who was not chained to Paul. I can imagine that task. The perspective Paul is urging the Philippians is this: it had to be prison. It had to be prison for the imperial guards, for the Roman guards to hear this. It had to be prison because it was the only way though so many of those worshiping Caesar would ever hear about a perfect, sinless Savior dying on the cross and being resurrected for the penalty of sin. It was the only way that they would hear about Jesus' sinless life taking on the wrath of God and raising 3 days later for sinful humans. Right? Our trials and disappointments are an opportunity to share the gospel, and sometimes they have to be seasons of life that we don't necessarily desire. What the Philippians saw as disappointment is actually God's divine appointment to make Christ known throughout the Roman government. And in the same way, brothers and sisters, what may seem like a very disappointing season of life to you is God's way of bringing the gospel to others. And in those seasons of life, we can do one or two things. And please hear this with genuine humility and compassion. In those seasons of life, we can do one or two things. We can be frustrated with God, upset with God that he's allowed these things into our lives. Or we can trust God. We can trust God, knowing that he's working out this season of life for the advancement of the gospel. Now, what I'm about to say, I say this with complete compassion and gentleness, knowing absolutely nothing of what's going on in your guys' lives. I don't know whose marriages are struggling day by day. And I don't know who here is struggling with parenting. I don't know these things. And so I say these things gently and kindly, but brothers and sisters, sometimes it has to be a job situation you don't like. Sometimes it has to be a difficult boss, an inconvenient situation. Sometimes it has to be an unexpected diagnosis. Sometimes it has to be heartbreak or a funeral. Sometimes it has to be circumstances that only God would choose. Why is that? It's because it's in those times that the unbelievers in our lives actually listen. You know, I can share the gospel. Actually, I'll just keep staying on the note so I don't go on a tangent, because this is much better than me going on a tangent. But sometimes we wouldn't choose the situation that God planned for us. And yet, oftentimes we look back in the past and go, God, I'm so thankful for your faithfulness in the midst of that situation. Right, the guards wouldn't have chosen to listen to Paul, but they were tied to him, so they had to. So how was it known throughout the whole imperial guard that Paul's imprisonment was for Christ? is because of his witness, because of his attitude, because of his hope, because of his joy. It was his confidence in God's sovereignty. And so when I say that God, we can use our trials as an opportunity to share the gospel, what I'm not saying is, hey, when you're struggling and suffering, go down to 42nd Street and just start preaching the gospel. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, the way in which we respond in those circumstances, the joy that we can have, the reliance on our Savior, right? The trust in a sovereign God. It's during those times, whether that be unsaved family members or unbelieving coworkers or roommates who aren't saved, it's in those times when our attitudes are in those ways that they start to recognize they're a little bit different. Christians are a little bit different. Right, we share the gospel with them with our attitude. And yes, of course, we use words. There's no gospel without words. But they see our joy in Christ. You know, what really gets unbelievers' attention and what really gets them curious about Jesus Christ is when we're struggling and they see a smile on our face. When they see the world around us is crumbling and they see the body of Christ coming alongside of us and encouraging us with the Word of God. What unbelievers get incredibly curious about Jesus when they see our lives falling apart, but our joy and our hope in Christ does not waver. There's a lady at my church in California. She's like a second mom to me. She would feed me often. She would take care of me often. And we'd have many arguments like children and parents do. But she was a second mom to me, and she got a brain tumor out of nowhere. She was struggling with some migraines. She got a brain tumor. She went to the doctor, and the doctor said, hey, if we operate, we don't know if you're going to be able to talk after. We don't even know if the operation is going to work. She had no idea what to do. I just remember sitting in the living room with her husband and with her daughters who were in my youth group. And I just remember everyone just, we had no words. She didn't choose a brain tumor. But it was in that moment that I'd never seen her be more godly. You know, we're just sitting there and she said, her husband said, well, what are we going to do? And she said, well, what else can we do but trust a good and sovereign God? You know, she just looked at us and said, the God that I believe in is working this out. He is sovereign, right? And that peace and comfort and joy that she had in the most trying time of her life, proclaiming that no matter what happened, her hope was in Christ, it actually led to so many gospel conversations with so many unbelieving women in her life. She'd been trying to break through to these women for years. For years, hey, bring your kids to VBS. Bring your daughters to youth group. And they would never listen until it was what God chose for her, a tumor in her brain. Right? She wouldn't have chosen it that way, but God did. And the Lord used her disappointment as the means to share the gospel in the lives of so many women who wouldn't have heard it in any other way. It was a difficult road, and it still is a difficult road. But it had to be a tumor so that these ladies would hear the gospel. Brothers and sisters, it's okay to say, God, this is tough. This is hard. This is once again, I'm not saying fake smiles. That is not Christianity. But I am saying, in those moments, we follow up, this is tough, this is hard with, but I know my God's in control. This is difficult, but I know God is sovereignly working for his glory. This is not what I wanted, but my hope isn't in my circumstances, it's in Christ. Right, that's how you cultivate a heavenly mindset. Point number two, our trials and disappointments are an opportunity to share the gospel. And so lastly, number three, God uses hard circumstances in our lives to bring confidence to believers around us. Look at verse 14. And he says, and most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Just looking at the text, I just want you to notice what brings confidence and boldness to the brothers in Christ. Notice it says, Paul says, by my imprisonment. He says his difficult season of life is what brings confidence and boldness to the brothers around him. Right, not all of them, and we'll get to the other ones in a minute. But your trials and difficult circumstances, though they may be tough, are actually being used in the lives of others. Right, God is using them to strengthen and embolden those around you. Right, this is the mindset we have to have in cultivating times. Man, I'm going to show up into church knowing that what I'm going through is encouraging others. Once again, I'm not saying these times are going to be easy. But Paul is showing us that with a shift in one's mindset, it is actually possible to have joy. And so, Christ Church, you may not realize it, but you being here, struggling with loneliness, is an encouragement to those around you. You being here, struggling in your marriage, is an encouragement to young married couples. You being here faithfully week after week, though you may not feel like it sometimes, is an encouragement. Your walk and attitude always has effect, right? You being here is encouraging the person sitting 10 rows in front of you and you don't even realize it. There's a girl at my church, and she's been really sick the last couple of months, and yet she's at prayer meeting every Wednesday. And so when I'm tired after work, and I go home and I sit there and I go, man, you know, I've had a long day and, you know, the public transportation is going to be inconvenient to get down there. You know what encourages me? I know Rebecca's going to be there struggling with her migraines. I know Rebecca's going to be. And so and she doesn't know this. But it if I think to myself, man, if she can be faithful in the midst of being sick, how much more could I be faithful in the midst of just being tired? She doesn't realize it, but her faithfulness in the midst of her sickness is encouraging to me. And some of you guys are struggling and working on your marriages, but you're here. And some of you guys have chronic illnesses you're battling with. I don't know who that is, but you're here and you're faithful to gathering and to serving in what small ways you can. And that's an encouragement to the lots of people. You just don't even see it. And so Paul's point in this little section here in verse 14 is that his imprisonment actually brings confidence. Your trial, your difficult season of life, your prison is a way to bring confidence to others. And it's doing that in the lives of believers. You just don't see it. Point number three, God uses hard circumstances in our lives to bring confidence to believers around us. And so if you notice at the beginning of verse 15, it says, most of the brothers. It's not all the brothers are confident. Most of the brothers are confident. Well, what about the others? Look at verses 15 through 17 with me. It's going to describe another group of people. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then, only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. All right, Paul makes a distinction between two groups. On the positive side, you have those who preach Christ out of love, who are walking alongside Paul. And on the other side, there's a group who preach Christ out of selfish ambition. And though Paul is encouraged by how his imprisonment has given others to speak boldly, he recognizes his imprisonment has given the opportunity for others to preach out of selfish ambition. Right? Some are preaching out of love, others doing it with malicious intent. And it's not that this other group is preaching a false gospel or a watered-down gospel. It's that they're just not coming alongside Paul. And look at what Paul says here. He says, the former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. All right, Paul describes their intent in verse 17. He says, their goal is to afflict him, to make his trials and circumstances more difficult. Paul's imprisonment was already difficult enough, yet alone other people making it more difficult. And I don't know how you guys would respond, but I know I wouldn't respond the way Paul responds. Now look at how Paul responds in verse 18. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, right? Whether they're preaching for truth to come alongside me, or they're preaching with selfish ambition, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Yes, I rejoice. You see, Paul's not mad. He's not upset. He's not jealous. He's not furious. He's not rageful. He's not upset with his circumstance. He's not upset with the other preachers. Why? Because he realizes that if Christ is being proclaimed, that's all that matters. And in that, he could rejoice. So how could Paul rejoice? How can we have joy in the midst of difficult circumstances? Just remembering that in those moments, Christ can be proclaimed. Right? Paul's main concern is clear. Regardless of their motives, regardless of what they're doing, the gospel is being proclaimed. And ultimately, this is Paul's overall point of the section. Kezia, this you can put into your project that you're doing on Monday. Paul's overall point is that no matter the circumstance, Paul can have joy because Christ is being proclaimed. And so, brothers and sisters, I say this with a heartfelt, with a heart full of compassion. Don't let your difficult season go to waste. It is oftentimes in difficult seasons we can waste it by being bitter and frustrated with God. And Paul's saying, cultivate a different mindset to further his kingdom. And we're not talking about putting on a fake smile. But just as Paul's imprisonment was an opportunity for the gospel to spread, your trials and difficult seasons of life can have the same effect in the lives of the believers and unbelievers in your life. And now maybe you're like, hey, you know what? I'm not going through something difficult in my life. And I would say, praise the Lord for that. But use this time as an opportunity to start cultivating that mindset that when I do go through something that's less than ideal, commit yourselves. I'm going to honor God in that time. And so in the same way that Paul cultivated a heavenly mindset, I just encourage you guys to remember, God uses your disappointments to advance the gospel. God uses our trials as an opportunity to share the gospel. And God uses hard circumstances to bring confidence to believers around us. Let me pray for us, and then we will silently reflect on this sermon. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your kindness and your goodness and your faithfulness. I thank you for the hope that we have in Christ. And I thank you, God, for the ways in which you work in our lives through other people and they don't even know. We do pray, Lord, that as we go out from here on Sunday, that our conversations would be full of gospel conversations. That they wouldn't just resort to what are we doing for dinner and what about the basketball game. But that we would have your word interwoven within our conversations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.